Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This we are in a conversation. Yesterday I saw some quote from Giriraj Maharaj that this is the unlimited conversation, because so many things are there, and it says that there was no limit to their discussion between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. We will chant the verse which everybody should know, because this is the verse to which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said yes. So every other verse he said yeah, but every other verse was yes but. But this one he said yes. This is the thing. And it's from Brahma's prayers in the 10th canto. It's the third verse. Immediately the third verse. Or no, it's the second verse. It should supposed to be the second verse. Already. Which is the third? No, it's the third verse, correct. Sorry, it's the third verse. And here's a chance to learn it by heart if you don't know it yet. And as yesterday was demonstrated by Mandragora Prabhu, it's possible. It was a little shorter, yeah, 2 days ago. 2 days ago, yeah. But this is a very nice verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Because it's such an important verse, I would like that, I think, we will chant word for word so that you already learn better as we chant it responsively. So the point is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approves pure devotional service as the proper purpose of life and the best method. And here it's defined as giving up all the other efforts to know God or anything, achieve perfection, and hearing from devotees. So that's quite a simple. So purity is there by putting full trust in bhakti. So giving, that's the purity, giving up all other efforts, full trust in bhakti. And bhakti here is defined as just hearing. So this is Krishna Katha Bhavadiya Vartam, your Varta. Varta is an interesting word. Varta is Kaisadugaya. Yeah. Vritti means to revolve. And Varta, usually if we had news, you know, some newspaper with news. Do you have some newspaper called News something? Lublanske Novice. Lublanske Novice, okay. So this is Bhavadiya Vartam, this will be Krishnova Novice. So what's new about Krishna? What Krishna has done today? It's happening every day in Vrindavan. Every day the boys come back and say, oh, today Krishna, there was this huge snake, and Krishna just entered into the snake or something. So this is Krishna Katha. And Bhaktisiddhanta ji said that we have enough news about Krishna to publish a newspaper every second. Yeah. So that's the perfection level. Yes. For us, we will think, oh, I have already heard it. Oh, yeah, I already know it. It's old news. Anyway, so, yeah, hearing Krishna Katha. Let's chant every word here. Jnane. In gaining knowledge. Prayasam. Unnecessary endeavor. Udapasya. Setting far aside. Namanta. Completely surrender. Live. Sat Mukharitam. Declared by great realized devotees. Bhavadiya Vartam. Discussions about you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sthane sthitan, situated in their own positions. Shruti gatam, received orally. Tanuvak manobhi, by the body, words, and mind. Ye, those who. Prayasham, almost always. Ajita, O my unconquerable Lord, beyond perception and unlimitedly independent. Jita, conquered. Api, indeed. Asi, you are. Taihi, by such pure devotees. Trilokyam, within the three worlds. Yes, you unconquerable, you become conquered by such devotees. They stay in the same position, but they hear. They put trust in Krishna Katha. Okay, so let us chant. It's a famous Vasant Tilak meter. Brahma seems to be affectionate to this meter. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam. Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvang manovir. Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvang manovir. Ye praya sojita jito pyasita istrilokyam. Ye praya sojita jito pyasita istrilokyam. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam. Sthane sthita shruti gatam tanuvang manobir. Ye praya shojita jito pyasita istrilokyam. Somebody else, please. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Jivanti sammukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Sthane sthitam shruti gatam tanuvang manobir.
Ekaya shojita jito pyasita istrilokyam.
Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva.
Jivanti sammukharitam bhavadiya vartam.
Ye praya sho jita jito pya sita istrilokyam.
Jnane praya samudapasya namanta eva.
Jivanti sammukharitam bhavadiya vartam.
Stane stita sruti gatam tanu vangmanovir.
Ye praya sho jita jito pya sita istrilokyam.
Yes, see, it works. Mataji, somebody would like to sing.
Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva.
Jivanti sammukharitam bhavadiya vartam.
Sane stita shruti gatam tanu vamanobhir.
Okay. Translation by His Dvangri Srila Prabhupada. Ramananda Rai continued. Lord Brahma said, "My dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empirical philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter." That's Srila Prabhupada's little commentary added here. Because it says they are following with their bodies. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. And Shani Marabu says, "Ehohoi." Yes, this is good. This is the basic principle of perfection. Om Agnati Viranda Sagananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Akanda Manadakaram Vyaptayena Characharam Tatpadam Darshitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Yasya prasadad agyopi sadhya sarvagyatam rajait sashichatanya devume bhagavan samprasidatu jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. There are levels of perfection and levels of practice. And this conversation here gives us different levels described. This is a very interesting conversation. One of the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Ramananda Priyo Guru, which can mean that he is a dear guru of Ramananda. But here we see that who is teaching whom. It's Ramananda teaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yeah, so another meaning is he is a dear guru of Ramananda. One who is a dear guru of Ramananda. So this is an unusual situation. We have the Supreme Lord asking questions from his devotee. Of course, we can say that this could be compared to some kind of a test. And just imagine that you come to the deity greeting and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, what do you think? What is the perfection of practice? What's the... And he's asking you about the different levels. And quote the relevant verses. Would you like to have such a test? You're not sure. Huh? Why not? So this was a recommendation by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that you go, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went traveling, as a sannyasi went traveling in South India for 6 years, he was traveling. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told him that make sure you meet Ramananda Rai in Vidyanagar. That's in Vidyanagar. He's a very special personality. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does it. And Ramananda Rai was a governor. So he was a quite a significant personality there. He did not belong to, how shall we call it, to the Brahminical aristocracy. And there were Brahmanas who were by birth already considered to belong to a very aristocratic part of the society, which probably already is connected to some extent to Kali Yuga, yeah, when people are judged just by their birth, where they belong. But here we see something interesting because they were there. He was accompanied by the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas were going together with Ramananda. There was also a band, an orchestra. You know, Ramananda Rai was going to take a bath in the river, and there was a... Who has seen an Indian wedding, or at least heard an Indian wedding, or seen Varma band, Varma band or some other band in India or in Vrindavan? It's something incredible, you know. Now they have this Rajasthani jazz or something, but those days, I guess it was not really jazz, but still they had pipes and everything. And so there was a band playing. Just imagine that as you go, Yashodhara Prabhu, you go to take a bath, and there is, you know, a few devotees with instruments to make it, you know, more relaxing, your bath. Or for Ananta Prabhu, yes. How can Ananta Prabhu go to take bath without, some music playing? You know? So Ananda Rai is going to take a bath with the music playing. And there were also some Brahmanas with him. Actually, quite a few Brahmanas. It is also interesting. I guess just in case he wanted to remember some quote or something. Although, I don't know. Or to give blessings, or to do chant good mantras. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Ramananda Rai, he was in ecstasy. He embraced Ramananda Rai, and he was just about to go into total ecstasy, but he controlled himself. So this is also an interesting point, that a devotee sometimes may experience ecstasy, but he can control himself not to show ecstasy to those who will not understand. They already think, criticized him in their minds, which is quite interesting. They were at the service of Ramananda Rai. They were serving Ramananda Rai. And here, they are criticizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi for embracing Ramananda Rai. One time he came and he embraced Ramananda Rai. Yes? And they are criticizing, he's a Brahmin sannyasi and he's embracing a ruler. Yeah? But they are serving him for decades, and that's okay. But he, one time, he embraced Ramana Roy. That's that's not nice. So it's quite funny. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he demonstrated it doesn't depend on some physical birth, and then they moved further away, that nobody could hear them. They couldn't hear them. It also shows that he discussed this some topics with qualified people, and these very aristocratic brahmanas were not qualified because they were karmis. They were perfect followers of Varnashram Dharma, but they were karmakandiyas. They had, if we are lucky, maybe they knew something about Brahman or about impersonal liberation, maybe, but not what was discussed between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. So they moved aside, and then Sarvam Bhattacharya, great scholar, very, very famous great scholar, he's mentioned in Western textbooks on logic. There is one Professor Ingalls, who used to come to our temples also. Some devotees know him. So he mentions Sarvam Bhattacharya in his books on logic. And so he was a great scholar, so he recommended Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see, because when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going, he said, "Oh, I feel sad, I will be separated from you." And all the devotees were feeling sad, but Sarvama said, "You will, as you go through Vidyanagar, you make sure you meet Ramananda Roy." And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after 4 years, came back, some years, he came back, he saw Sarvam Bhattacharya, and he said, "I have traveled all through the South India. I have seen many scholars, many devotees. Sarvabhauma, you are the best." And then he says, "I have to say that Ramananda Rai was also good." Okay, Ramananda Rai also was good. So, but Sarvabhauma, you are the best. It's quite interesting. Well, to be honest, I should say I don't know. but
His name is, what does it mean, the meaning of
universal. 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 We can say that he had both bhakti and he could prove the superiority of bhakti. He was very he used to be a great logician and scholar, but then he was converted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he became a great devotee scholar, a great Vaishnava, and he could not only cry in ecstasy, but he could also convince others that bhakti is superior and help others remove doubts. Right? So that's... we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would regularly discuss philosophy with him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself was a great scholar, he didn't have... And that was his incarnation, Leela. It's Brahman Leela, right? He wants to discuss some intricate, subtle points. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gives him this opportunity to discuss subtle points of philosophy from the bhakti point of view. Anyway, so Ramananda Rai was also there, and he moved to Jagannath Puri shortly afterwards to spend, and he was one of the constant companions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here we have this amazing reversal of the roles. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking questions, and Ramananda Roy is answering the questions. And when Ramananda Roy is very at one point he says, nobody has ever asked me such questions. This far, nobody has ever even asked. and then he says, I think you are the Lord. Finally, he understood. You know, he not understood, he saw. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, come on, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi, and you are a Vaishnava. Yes, I'm just a Mayavadi sannyasi. I'm very disqualified. I'm a very lowly person. But you are such a Vaishnava, such a devotee. So these are the exchanges. So it's a very famous conversation, and it says that anybody who hears these talks becomes enlightened to the transcendental knowledge of the mellows of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So if you hear, if you were not asleep, thus one can develop unalloyed love for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Is it something that is interesting for us? Unalloyed love for the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And also, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, the author requests every reader to hear these talks with faith and without argument. By studying them in this way, one will be able to understand the confidential truth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. And also it says that this part of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is most confidential. One can derive benefit quickly, only by faith. Otherwise, by arguing, one will always remain far away. Hare Krishna. So, there were several, they were meeting every evening and they were talking through the night. The whole night they were discussing. Then they would take bath and Ramananda Rai would go to rule and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go to chant and whatever else he was doing, visit temples. So, this is the main discussion, most famous discussion. What is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life? This is the most important question, probably. Who said it that if somebody has... Nietzsche. Yeah, if somebody has a strong why, he will always find how. If you have a strong why, you will always find a how. In other words, if you are convinced about the purpose, you will find a way. Where there is a will, there is a way. Yeah, it's famous. And we have this famous Viktor Frankl who went through the concentration camp and survived. He was a psychology professor from Vienna University, from the Vienna University, Viktor Frankl. And how did he survive? He says, by seeing meaning. By seeing meaning in what's happening. And he lived he died around 2000, actually. He lived to a very ripe old age, 90-something. And he was teaching, I forgot the exact brand of existential psychology he was developing, but he was helping people find meaning of life, purpose of life, yeah? And he said that's the... Logotherapy. To find meaning in life. And this is the worst torture when one doesn't have meaning. And if there is a meaning, one can go through. I mean, he went through Dachau concentration camp and survived and was able to help others. So this is a very important question. We see that so many people, like Slovenia has been made famous all around the world. There is one author who has books in every airport around the world. Yes. Paulo Coelho. And there was something, Veronica, decides to die. Yes, Veronica decides to die. It's about Ljubljana. It's about Slovenia. Because somehow or other, Slovenia has a high rate of, or used at least to have a high rate of suicides. So it's very characteristic of rich countries too to have a high rate of suicides. Why? Because people see no meaning. They have gotten. They have everything, you know. If you don't have what to eat, you think, if I get to what to eat, I will be happy, right? But if you have what to eat and everything, and you're still not happy, then you feel something is wrong. No meaning. On the contrary, we have this sex worshipper, Freud. Yeah, he replaced God with sex. Yeah, that's what he did. Prabhupada says so. I mean, they in discussion in dialectic spiritualism. He says, I deal only with the basement of a human, you know, the cellar. Clit. Huh? And just imagine if you come to the temple, but you go, and not even here in this building where you have prasadam and kitchen, but in that building where you also have a kitchen, but there is a, you know, for washing machines and you think that's the only thing I'm interested in. Would you get the full benefit of a visit to Zhibertova 27? Probably not, no? It's not. But that's openly, as he's called by one other psychologist, Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud. It's a play of words. Sigmund Freud. Well, he did some contribution, but... And he said, if a person asks about meaning of life, he's sick. So, on the contrary, if you don't have a quest for meaning of life, then that's an animal life. It's an animal life. And it's a useless life, actually. And it's a painful life. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's main first question. What is the purpose of life? He's asking. And then we have several levels of his answer. Para shloka saddera nirnai. So please quote me a shloka. Again, he's not saying in a speculative way. He says, give me a shloka about the, which explains the meaning of life. And then we have the full ladder, we can say some kind of a yoga ladder, different levels of meaning of life. So the first level he's giving, it's also quite interesting. You don't find to enjoy here, just to enjoy. The first one is called Svadharma Charane in Gauranga Prabhu's study. So we have here six levels. Six levels. So the first one is Svadharma Charane. In yoga letter we call, anybody remembers how we call it in the yoga letter? Anybody knows this level? This first level of human life? Karma Kanda. Thank you. Karma Kanda, yes. This is Karma Kanda. So there is, here enjoyment is in the first place, but it's through Swadharma, through one's nature and with one's duties, Swadharma, one's Vishnur Aradhyate, one worships Vishnu. So it's certainly pious, it's certainly it's helpful, it elevates the person, it purifies the person. Even if a person is a karmakandiya, he will become gradually purified. So this is the first proposition. You can see that there is Vishnu Aradhana, worship of Vishnu, but it starts with quite a strong self-interest. So this is a famous Vishnu Purana verse. Varna shrama charavata purushena parapuman vishnur aradyate panta namya tato shakaranam. This is 858 here, about Swadharma Charane. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kohe eho bahya age koho ar. This is external. You had better tell me of some other means. Again, it doesn't mean that this is bad in itself. Just like if you say, you should wash your hands. And is it good or bad? You should brush your teeth. It's which number? It's in the list of bhakti elements, actually, to keep clean, right? You cannot worship the deities without brushing your teeth. Because, I mean, even if you come to the temple room without having brushed your teeth, there will be a bad smell. It's not good. But it's external. Yeah. If you think this is all, this is... maybe you will have good teeth, but it's not enough. We also need to worship the Lord. We also need to come to the temple. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this is external. Age kohar, if you tell me more. So this is the first one. Then the next one is Krishna Karmarpana. So we can say this can be called Gona Bhakti or Bhakti Mishra Karma. Bhakti Mishra Karma. Yeah, it's... So it's karma primarily, but there is some must be some bhakti. Anything has to have bhakti to give success, right? But then the next one, we already have, this is called Krishna Karmarpana. So this we can call Karma Mishra Bhakti. That's already much better. So we have a very famous Yat Karoshi Yadashnasi Yat Juhoshi Dadasi Yat Yat Tapasyasi Kante Yat Tat Kuru Shamadarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. So that was the recommendation for Arjuna. That was what Arjuna was told in the 9th chapter of the Gita. But still, this is, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, this is pradhanya bhakti. Bhakti is primary. That's the purpose. So that's why it's already recommended. It's good, but still, it's some trust. It's not the full trust in bhakti is not there. One thinks that one needs to do other things, and then one will do bhakti. Full trust is not there. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is. Jnana Karma Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. I remember I said that you don't need to remember this for the exam, and our Akrura from Shkofya Loka or from Krani? He's Shkofya Loka. He learned it. He was so ecstatic about this expression. He memorized it and he put it in the exam. This is Jnana Karma Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. Yeah, you can casually drop it in a conversation. Yeah, it's Krishna recommends Jnana Karma Mishra Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti. But this is it is a good method, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says eho bahya. This is also still external. This is also external. He wants him to go further. Then we have two levels of Jnana Mishra Bhakti. We have two levels of Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Gauranga Prabhu writes, this is Svadharma Tyaga, and then Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Svadharma Tyaga. So here, amazingly enough, we have a scandal. Because Ramananda Roy quotes what Srila Prabhupada calls the last instruction of Krishna. Sarvadharman paritya jamame kam sharanam raja aham tvam sarapape bhyo moksha yeshami masuchaha. Yes? Should this be good? This should be good, no? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, this is also external. Please go further. Please say more. Eho bahya, age kohar. How so? We thought it's the last ultimate instruction. Yeah. So there are different ways. Bhagavad Gita has many different levels. So the verses can be understood at many different levels. There are layers and layers of meaning. The acharyas point out at least 5 levels in the Gita. So it can be understood as sannyas, simply taking sannyas basically something like, again, jnana mishra bhakti. Some people understand it in such a way. So for those people who understand it in such a way, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no, this is not enough. This is, please tell more. So then we have another famous verse, which focuses more clearly on jnana practice, so jnana mishra bhakti. So you can see this focuses on karma tyaga, so dharma tyaga. The next verse, so it's jnana mishra, it's the entry, it's the sannyas stage of jnana mishra. The next one is more positive. It says brahma bhuta prasannatmana shochati nakankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labate param. One who is thus transcendentally situated, Brahma Bhuta, at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. Like you can see, all devotees here, free from desires and lamentation, very peaceful. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. I remember for the first 15 years or something of studying Gita, this was one of my favorite verses because it confirmed my attachment to jnana. I would quote it and say, look, see, it says first, Brahma Bhuta, right? Prasannatma, joyful. Then, Samah Sarvashu Bhuteshu, equal to all the living entities. And then, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. After that, you see? So first, you must develop transcendental understanding. See everybody equally with spiritual eye. Yes. No. This is, this is the gradual path. If it's simply Varnashram, this Gona Bhakti, thousands of years, millions of years, actually. Thousands and thousands of births. This, okay, maybe hundreds of births. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again says, Eho Bahya Age Kohar. So this is external. Again, it's a symptom, but it's not the method. It's a symptom, and it does describe, if you followed Vishnachakarya Thakur's commentary, you will see that this verse also, he says, this is a description of the gradual development. If a person goes through the yoga ladder, outside of school of bhakti. But, it's possible to, go directly to bhakti, to pure bhakti. And it sounds very simple. Yeah, take bhakti, right? But I don't know. At least for me, it took me 20 years of reading and studying and teaching to accept. Maybe that's possible. Maybe that's actually what we should do. Yes, go directly to bhakti. And that's this verse on the board. Gyanaya prayasa mudapasya. Give up the prayasa, meaning separate endeavor or. Excessive, extraneous, unnecessary, prior, how do you say? In other words, make bhakti dependent on jnana. As the previous, basically you see that's what the previous verse does. It makes bhakti dependent on jnana. Which is not true. Bhakti is not dependent. And you can. First of all, it's not dependent. And second of all, another misunderstanding is to think that bhakti doesn't have it. Doesn't have jnana. But this verse itself says Shruti gatam. They keep listening, right? And it includes listening to, I mean, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How much knowledge is there? Or Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. So much knowledge is there. But if you listen this as part of Shravanam Kirtanam, as part of Bhakti, for Krishna's pleasure, then Jnana is there, but it's not covering. It's part of your Bhakti. It's part of your Bhakti.
I just want to ask, what does it mean, Jnana?
Knowledge. Jnana, there from Sanskrit, there were two groups. One went north, one went south. So one came to Jnana Znanie, and one went Jnana Jnana Knosis Knowledge. It's the same word, but going two paths. Centum and Centum, there are two groups of languages, Centum and Centum. So we are in the Centum group, Znanie. Jnana. There is Kentum group that is knowledge, canon, gnosis, gnostics. So jnana, yeah, knowledge. But here it means the practice of developing, of meditating on spirit. So it is included in bhakti. It's naturally, but it should not be put first, or bhakti is not dependent on it. Bhakti can be done directly. And if you do it properly, it will be included in under the proper guidance. It says Sanmukharitam, under the proper guidance. Then, realizing spirit will be included there. It's not always is. But if you do it properly, it's included. Let me see, Prabhupada, he says, my complaint, my disciples don't study my books. Yeah? He says, this is not an expert business. It's not for selling. Don't think I'm translating these books for selling. It's for study. It's for our study. So this is the solution. This is something that works quickly, that conquers the unconquerable. You cannot know God. It's official. He's avang manasagocharam. Bhagavatam says he cannot be approached by words, he cannot be approached by mind. He cannot imagine God, he cannot hear, catch him by words. Impossible. Because he's God, he's transcendental. But if you follow bhakti, then the unconquerable becomes conquered. Yes? Oh, very simple. That's the magic of bhakti. Conquering, that's what we are doing. We are here to conquer the unconquerable, to know the unknowable. Bhagavad Gita says, Arjuna asks, what's gyeya? What's the object of knowledge? And Krishna describes, he's inside, outside, he's avigyeya, he's unknowable. That's the object of knowledge. Unknowable, that's what you should know. What else is worthy of knowing? That's interesting to know. Yeah, the unknowable. That's which is beyond, is beyond all knowledge. Brahma says, I don't know, Shiva doesn't know, nobody knows. But we surrender, and then he reveals himself. Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo namaidhaya nabahuna shruteina shrutashvara upanishad. You cannot understand him by giving lectures. Sorry. Yes. What to do? Bad news. Or na medhaya, by very sharp intelligence or brain. Medha literally means brain. Morgane. And bahuna shruten, or by listening a lot. Yam eva isha vrinote tena labhyas tasya isha ama atma vivrinote tanum svam. But whom he chooses, to him he can reveal himself, and such a soul can understand him fully. So in other words, it's a descending process, avaroha panta. He gives a revelation, but we attract Bhaktya mama bijananti yavan yashchasmi tatota. We attract him by bhakti, and by bhakti we can understand him. Yavan yashchasmi, Krishna says, fully. Well, fully, you know, means to the maximum possible extent. Because here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, ehohai! Yes, this is it. That's good. But then he says, aga kohor! Is there something else you can say? And then he speaks about dasya bhakti, and sakya bhakti, and vatsalya bhakti, and then madhurya bhakti, madhurya rasa. And then in madhurya rasa he speaks about Vrindavan and Radharani. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, is there something more you can tell me? And Ramananda Rai says, well, this far nobody has ever asked me before. Okay, I'll try. And he speaks about viraha bhav and different levels of, because at prema the fun only begins. But our lecture ends. Here. So, pure bhakti is worthy of our trust. And it has everything, includes everything. And gives everything. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Questions, comments, corrections? Yes. Nimai Prabhu. I mentioned what? Yeah. Sigmund Freud. It's not my. That's how. What's his name? Bendler. Bendler calls him Sigmund Freud.
I don't completely share this view of him with you, but.
No. I said that he made an important contribution because he also shook, although he's a sex worshipper, but he did shake, and he's a militant anti-God person, anti-religious person, but he did show that there is subconscious, and there is self-cheating, self-deception, which very naive materialism used to deny. They used to think, you know, it's everything is what I say is true. What I think is true. I know myself completely. He says, no, you don't know yourself. There are so many things inside you that you are not even aware. So that's a good thing. That's valuable. And he did. After him, you see, comes Jung, who says, this guy has some problem with God.
He himself never proposed sexual freedom as a therapy. I mean, Freud, as far as to the extent of Manuel, I mean, he didn't propose a relaxation of norms as solving the neurosis problems. There should be work done through therapy on resolving this conflict. I mean, as far as
you want to protect him here, or is it to protect his? Okay, it's been recorded. Well, he said some interesting things. He even spoke about Nirvana. He even said in his later works, strangely enough, he said that even he spoke about two forces, Eros and Thanatos, desire to enjoy, and libido and desire, death wish, desire to die. And he says that desire to die is stronger. And he says that even the sex pleasure, that's his words, is basically desire to remove the painful lust. The pain of lust. You know, the pleasure is absence of pain of passion. For, you know, 50 seconds or how many seconds it lasts. Afterwards,
I wanted to ask you: he established connection between, to some extent, I don't know, between the sexual repression and neurosis. Mm. And to some extent, this is if you don't channel this energy upwards, then we actually share this view of possible genesis of neurosis of in this world? I mean, how is the Vedic view of regression and channeling these things are? Because those connections are empirically, to some extent, established that they're there. I don't know how you can comment on this. Because it is practical for our practice, and if you don't properly channel this, then you can go insane also, I mean, by too much suppression, probably, of lust and all this.
I think this would be a wonderful big book to take every philosopher, like we have dialectic spiritualism, they discussed with Srila Prabhupada, where we can show which portion from each philosopher, because, you know, if they say something which is true, then it's also there in the Bhagavatam and the Gita. So this, what you mentioned, is also there in the Gita. Krishna says you cannot stop working for a moment, and what repression can accomplish, and you should better engage. And this is the idea of Varnashram Dharma, that we sometimes think that Varnashram Dharma is a caste system, but Varnashram Dharma is not a caste system to suppress. It's a very positive system to uncover your nature and really use it in yoga. Because in Kali Yuga it became corrupt, we started calling it Daivi Varnashram. The proper Varnashram Dharma, this Bhagavatam, you know, Atah Pum Virdu Jashishta Varnashram Vibhagasha. Sanashitasya dharmasya sansidir hari toshanam. The perfection of Varnashram is worshipping, satisfying the Lord. Also this verse quoted here, it calls it worship of the Lord. So in other words, we use our nature and we have eight main subdivisions, and it's not to suppress, but on the contrary, to uncover and to connect to Krishna. Yes. And that's desired to offer it, to take our nature and offer it to Krishna. And then somebody can ask, don't we suppress or repress so many, like we have the four, Prabhupada puts four regulative principles here in this verse. Don't we repress some of our desires? So this has been answered by Purnachanda Maharaj in his book, Unspoken Obstacles on the Path of Devotional Service. Yesterday, somebody, Kavichandra Maharaj, I think, put his quote on Dandavats with a nice picture of Purnachanda Maharaj. So there he says, these are two different things. Repression and suppression is not the same. What our Viennese Freud spoke about was denial, saying, I don't have it, denying these things. Then, yes, it's self-cheating. It's self-cheating, hypocrite. That's what Krishna says, mithyachara. It's a mithyachara. And he says, the commentaries, our acharyas say, he doesn't achieve perfection, neither happiness in this life, nor perfection in the next life.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah, hypocrisy. Yeah. So he says, no perfection this life, no perfection next life. So we have it in the third chapter of the Gita. That's just the beginning of the Gita. However, Purnachandra Maharaj says that a devotee usually is not... he's not pushing it into the shadow. He's not denying it. A devotee is usually painfully aware of all of his desires. He's fully aware. And even if a devotee doesn't indulge in all of these desires, it's not a repression. It's a conscious, he says, could be sometimes suppression, but there's nobody in this world who doesn't suppress desires. Even a sexual maniac who runs on the street and attacks people to rape them, even he has to suppress his urge for a few seconds until he runs or until he finds somebody who attracts him. You know, no, there's nobody in this world, even a glutton. You know, glutton, how do you say glutton in? Huh? Pojaruch, yeah. Even Pojaruch, who weighs 300 kilos, even he has to suppress his desire until the Domino Pizza on the Piaggio scooter brings his next pizza, or he manages to get another ice cream. Nobody ever is free from suppression. But a devotee channel redirects, and also follows the guidance and acts. So with the help of Shastra, Sadhu, and Guru, he finds what's the proper channel for him. So it's not repression, it's not denial, it's not saying, oh, no, I have no desires. No, I'm. As, you know, this usually, in the beginning, maybe the first, you know, few months, we think, yeah, I'm a saint. And then it becomes, Krishna says, oh, yeah, really? Are you sure? And then you're usually quite well aware. First we try to deny. No, who did this? Who? What is that? I didn't have it. Where is this coming from? But that's self-realization. It's called self-realization. Finding the dark, shadowy places. I don't know. It says 9:15 here. Of course, we are just coming to some interesting parts of our discussions. Do we call it today? Do we keep on talking? Or do we go stop suppressing our desire to take breakfast? Which shall we suppress now? Desire to talk or desire to eat? What's the choice? Okay, we have one more question.
When you mentioned about guides and the seller and focusing all your funds there's one psychologist, Alexander Lowen, that
Alexander
Lowen, yes, that explains how it's important that the structure of the whole building is there with a good basis. And also, he explains different child development stages from anal, oral stages, and so forth. How different stages are connected. If, for instance, a child did not receive enough nurturing and care in that development stage, how a certain personality structure can develop. For instance, if in anal stage some needs were not taken care of, a person can become really severe masochistic, and whichever desire he has, he would suppress, or he would be aware of them but not act upon them and include them in Krishna's service. It's like constant frustration, constant prone to suffer, basically.
Are you all scared now? What if maybe this is something that has happened to me? Yes. So, is there a question there?
It is. The question is, in the process of bhakti and including our nature in the service for the Lord, is this bhakti a practice of attachment or detachment? Because I often experience that people are trying to be like superficially detached, and they're becoming impersonal. So that's my question.
Which part of it? There are, I think, two questions or three questions in this. So, is bhakti the practice of attachment or detachment?
they try to become superficially detached and therefore impersonal. I'm interested in that part, but I know from superficially detached and therefore impersonal.
Yes, yes. To me, it sounds like an accusation, not a question. Some critique of... Yeah, we have a long way to go to develop. Basically, what is the difficulty? The difficulty is we don't have developed large healthy communities with a mature culture, and so therefore necessarily we have a clash of incompatible natures in close proximity. That's what's happening. That we can call it the growth pains or the problems of growth. Because in a large developed community, you will have a sub community for each nature. You will have a sub community for each nature, and everybody will be happy because there will be some there will be enough for grihasthas like this, enough for grihasthas like that, enough for brahmacharis like this, enough for sannyasis like that. There will be no, you know, like, for example, if somebody is a brahmachari or a sannyasi, he will have to show indifference to certain members of the society. That's his proper behavior. That's how he should behave. Or a wife, for example. If somebody flirts with a married woman, she will show impersonal behavior to that person. Sometimes she may show a very personal behavior also, if it's going too far. But if it's not going too far, she'll just behave impersonally. She'll just behave impersonally. And you can... I really admire that some... I know some ladies. She's married. She's very attractive. And she's like, you know, like... when she's not with her husband... She's like a ice mountain. Yeah? Like an ice mountain, you know? Because we don't have proper culture, we don't know how to interact, so sometimes we may not behave in a properly detached manner. Like my mother told me, you should smile less. I still have to learn this. But she's just like an ice mountain, like... Even if somebody makes an unnecessary smile, it will just immediately fizzle out in the eyes of her extent. So that's appropriate. But after we grow more and we have large communities with sufficient sub-communities, there will be enough for everybody. Enough sub-communities for every nature and every... We will not... Like Pranachana Maharaj, he he has a project. He had an idea to create a Hare Krishna monastery where monks could, or monastically minded brahmacharis could be living just, you know, in a complete isolation from. That was his project. Even though he is one who was. He was becoming angry when somebody said you should go against your nature. He would chastise people in the class. Somebody said, shouldn't we, you know, like do what we don't like? He would become angry. He said, why do we need to create a society where everybody is unhappy? No, please. Krishna says, use your nature.
I think it's such a question of the lack of structure of Varnashrama. I think it's the question of honesty and...
Yeah, that's connected.
It's a question of honesty at the mixture of sometimes it suits us better to follow Sanatana Dharma and just to be souls.
To be?
To be souls and to just engage in loving devotional service and experience love and be loved. And, you know, then on a certain point you do not take responsibility and then Varnashrama Dharma really suits us.
And Varnashrama Dharma
really suits us to step into some superficial frames of
you mean we misuse Varnashrama Dharma. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Because if you know Varnashrama Dharma stops you from, you know,
The misuse of Varnashrama Dharma.
Yeah, the misuse of Varnashrama Dharma
concepts
stops you from engaging yourself as a true nature, you know, as being devotee and servant of Krishna, and putting your nature in the service of Krishna. Then, you know, if I don't know. Then I think we're missing the point here. That if you think, oh, but you know, I'm a brahmachari, I cannot experience love, I'm a grihastha, I should never premature do this, and it's like.
Yes. So in short, the answer is yes. Yes, of course. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. So pure bhakti is the answer, and it's no obstacle to be yourself. Thank you very much.